The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Lexi Brinkley and Danny Miles, and we've got more Davies coming up here in just a second. I've been flagged, you guys. Facebook shut me down.
That's crazy.
Oh my gosh, they won't let me. I guess because I put this is the craziest thing, you guys. So we were digging last night trying to figure out why won't they take our new credit card? What is going on? Well, apparently, my daughter.
Well, how did you find out?
Well, because we had to dig deep. We went on the admin and everything. Like, got out the laptop instead of, you know, normally I just do it from my phone. I'll post something and then I'll boost it if I like it or I think it's really important information.
So you never received anything from Facebook saying, okay, here's the deal.
Nope. Not that I'm aware of. We've got actually a specialist coming up here after the show to help us figure it all out. But they said for nudity reasons, one of the reasons I was what was the terminology that they used?
It taking was pictures of your policy. Cat with a mirror in the background.
Yeah. Oh no.
Oh my God! Can you imagine if I had put that out there? But no, it was Harry Styles. So Nia's in the car with me, and she Shazammed so she could pull it up quickly. The song. What's the name of that new song of his?
Sign of the Times.
Sign of the Times, which I absolutely love, and so now Harry Styles knows that I love him. I think he's a little hottie. And so anyway, but the album cover is him, like the back of him, like, isn't it?
But it's an album cover, so that's not nudity.
But it's just his back.
But it pulled it up on Shazam, and they said that was nudity. I'm like, are you kidding me? Hoes all day long on Facebook.
That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
I mean, how many times do you go on Facebook and you see those, you know, sponsored posts of, of bodybuilders or, you know, women bodybuilders. And it's practically, they're in teabags.
Well, and
that's more nudity than what you're describing.
Exactly. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And this is another crazy thing that happened. So I get a call from my daughter at 5 o'clock this morning. She was drugged last night at a frat party. She was drugged at a frat party. It happens to so many women, and I'm bringing it up because I want mothers and fathers to encourage their girls to really watch out. She had one drink, and they slipped something in it at a frat party, and thank goodness she was with her best friend, and her boyfriend's really sweet. He came to the rescue too, Cody, and her best friend, Sophia, and got her home safely, but she doesn't remember anything other than drinking that one drink, blacking out, and waking up this morning, and that's pretty scary. You know, school just got started, and I'm just like, wow, you know, what do you do? What do you do with that?
You know, if it can be proven, which is hard to prove because there's probably no cameras, and obviously, but, you know, that's kick those kids off of campus.
I agree. I told her we need to call the school, the president, and press charges, or at least try to do an investigation to find out who did it.
And if there is whatever that, you know, date rape drug is or whatever, if they have that, you know, in one of the rooms, you know, possession of it, right there is probably grounds of kicked out of school.
Well, at least, if nothing else, that flag the frat house. You know?
No,
seriously.
Yeah. I mean,
it happens to so many girls, Danny. I can't even, I can think of two of my friends right off the top of my head that has happened
to. Well, it happens a lot in the hazing of, getting into frats and sororities. You know, they've tried to, put somewhat of a stop to that, but it's hard to. I mean, there's knotheads everywhere.
Yeah, there is.
At every age.
Yeah, there is. And let's talk about something happy here. Let's bring Maura Davies in from the SPCA of North Texas. She is the Vice President of Communications. How are you doing today, Maura?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Good. And this isn't your regular day, but tomorrow we've got Nathan Runkle calling in. And we didn't have you on last week. So I thought, you know, Kip is out today. And I wanted to bring you in to talk about the fur ball and spaying and neutering and how important it is.
These are really important topics. I mean, both, obviously, because one helps the other.
Right.
Just to kick it off, again, the importance of spaying and neutering. There are so many people out there, I don't think, really realize the benefits to not only the pet, but the family, and then society at large to spaying and neutering. Some people, will hear us talking about all the time, spay and neuter and prevent unwanted pets, homeless pets, keep pets from being euthanized. But there are benefits to you and your pet, too, that are good. For example, your female pet will live a longer, healthier life because spaying can prevent uterine infections, breast tumors. And those tumors are malignant in about 50% of dogs and 90% of cats. So if you spay your pet before her first heat, then you may very well be able to eradicate those kind of cancers. And in dogs, in male dogs, neutering prevents testicular cancer and some prostate problems. So that's just on a purely health basis. That's good stuff.
Yeah, and for the pets. So many people, so many men, I should say, have trouble neutering their male dogs. What do you say to them?
I don't have a frame of reference since I don't have the certain part.
Right.
But I have heard many men tell that they see their dogs as an extension of their masculinity. And I'm here to say, you know what? Try not to, or just don't, because neutering your pet dog, your male dog, will not only keep them from having cancer, testicular cancer, it will keep your dog closer to home. Your neutered male might even just be better behaved. Also, it's going to probably cost you less in the long run, even if, you don't think of any other reasons to spay neuter out there, and especially for men, but women too. Let's not talk about the millions of animals that we all save if we all spay neuter. I mean, although that's kind of the biggest thing, right?
Yeah. Well, I think it
can save you money.
Well, yeah, exactly. And a lot of trouble because of a dog or a cat, male or female, is not spayed or neutered. They have more of a tendency to stray off, don't they?
Yes, or get hit by cars, get attacked by other animals. This is all going to end up being very expensive and horrifically traumatic. So, but one more personalized reason, right in your pocketbook. If not for society at large, then be selfish and do it anyway.
If your pet is an extension of your masculinity...
You're in trouble.
I'm really in trouble because my dog, my last dog that I had was a toy Shih Tzu, and now I have a damn cat. What does that tell me about my masculinity?
That's You're a funny. Very nice guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm sensitive. Well, I am a cancer, right?
Well, so. You know what? I have to tell you, I think that men that are cat lovers are kinder men. They tend to be kinder.
Well, what about a toy Shih Tzu?
Well, there's so many animals out there in the shelters, especially at the SPCA. I'm sure that the cages are full, are they not, Maura, right now?
Always. Yep, yeah. They're always full. And, spaying and neutering is the single biggest thing everyone can do.
I got a question for you, Maura. My sweetie and I went to a pet store the other day. Actually, it was last week. And, there's the pet store. It's like, let's go play with the puppies. They were, I found my dog, an English bull. I could not believe the price that they're getting for those. And seven grand, someone walked out with a dog.
What?
$7,000.
That burns my rear end.
That English bull that Robin and I were playing with was going for, and it was on sale, for $5,900.
Wow.
My question to you, Maura, is what the heck?
Say something, Maura, before I scream.
Well, are they crap in gold?
I'm screaming internally. The biggest thing out there, there are some responsible breeders, and I get that some people are looking for a really specific breed for some really specific reasons. But a lot of people are out there just wanting the status symbol of a purebred animal. And I'm here to tell you right now that supporting somebody who you have no idea how their parent, the dog's or cat's parents were treated, is perpetuating the horrifically cruel puppy mill industry. And the only way we can stop this industry is to not purchase animals from puppy millers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say reputable breeders, but the quickest way to say it is adopt, don't shop. About a quarter of all the animals in animal shelters are purebred. Sure, we don't have paperwork, but if you just really need to see a certain kind of breed of dog at the end of the leash, we have them in shelters all over the country.
Yes.
So adopt, don't shop is the easiest way to put it. And please don't ever forget, if you can't see the mom and dad, if a breeder hides behind a storefront or a parking lot, don't do it, because odds are you are likely perpetuating puppy mills.
Well, and here's the thing, and Danny, and thank you for bringing it up, but the thing is that for every one of those dogs that is sold, another dog dies in the shelter that never gets adopted. And mm-hmm. we can't do this anymore. From an environmental standpoint, it's the wrong decision. It's just the wrong decision for the earth, for the animals, for everyone that lives on this, on our precious earth, right?
Yes.
All right. I'm so frustrated. I get so upset when I talk about this stuff. I really do. You know, and I even have friends that'll do it. They'll go buy like a fancy dog and I just want to choke them. I really do.
On the positive end, people can help support the SPCA of Texas. Our amazing, wonderful, beautiful furball, raining cats and dogs, September 30th, 6:30 to midnight. People can buy tickets and tables today at furballdolls.com. It's going to be a ton of fun.
And we will be there. We're going to be there at the furball of the SPCA of Texas. All right. Maura, thank you so much for jumping on the air with us today and letting people know how important it is to spay and neuter. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
All right, everyone, stay tuned. We've got a really great show coming up. We've got Dr. Jack Wolfson. He is the paleocardiologist. And we have Melissa Henning. She is going to be talking about raw paleo. And then Beth Reeder Johnson is back. She's going to be talking about improving teen communication. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Did you know that hemp has been used for a variety of wellness needs for thousands of years? And now, thanks to the Stanley Brothers in Colorado, you can now get Charlotte's Web, the most trusted whole plant hemp extract in the world. Charlotte's Web is a proprietary whole plant hemp extract that contains all of the beneficial and naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. In fact, in 2003, the federal government recognized the beneficial effects on human health and obtained a U.S. patent titled Cannabinoids and Antioxidants. For more information and to get educated about Charlotte's Web, visit cwhemp.com. That's cwhemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
There's no easier way to add color to your life than to decorate your home and garden with lights. They aren't just for Christmas. Pink, teal, purple, light up your yard, dorm room, or add sparkle to your birthday party. Find every color under the sun online at ChristmasLightSource.com. That's ChristmasLightSource.com.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, and I have Dr. Jack Wolfson on the line. He is the paleocardiologist. Dr. Wolfson is a board-certified cardiologist with 14 years in practice and is the author of the Amazon best-selling book, The Paleocardiologist, The Natural Way to Heart Health. Welcome to One Life Radio, Dr. Wolfson. So, such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be on with you guys.
Well, you know, I don't need to tell you as a cardiologist that, you know, heart problems in America are huge. There's such a huge percentage of Americans that really suffer with heart disease. And, you know, so Dr. Wolfson, you are a cardiologist. We know that, okay? And you used to work in a hospital performing surgeries to fix heart disease. And now you've learned how to prevent and treat heart disease naturally. So can you tell our listeners how you learned this?
Yeah, most certainly. You know, when we go through medical school and residency and fellowship, and that was 10 years of training for me, and then a few years on the job. And at that point, you're kind of left with, you know, you're using a lot of pharmaceuticals, doing dangerous procedures like angiograms and pacemakers and stents and bypass surgeries. And sometimes those are necessary. But the reality is that the medical doctors and the medical community has nothing for prevention. Mm-hmm. And that is what I learned when I met the woman who would become my wife. She's a doctor of chiropractic, Dr. Heather. And she opened up my eyes to say, hey, listen, it is the food, it is environmental pollutants, it is the lack of sleep, lack of sunshine, all the stress people are under. That is what's causing heart disease. And I went back and I started doing a lot of research. And wouldn't you know it, Bernadette, it's all in the medical literature. It's just doctors never talk about that. Mm-hmm. We just talk about pills and procedures. And that is how I changed, and that is why I wrote the book.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And kudos for you as a cardiologist, part of the medical community, to speak about this, because you can prevent heart disease. You can prevent mental illness. You can prevent a lot of things that, you know, ADD, ADHD in children. I mean, there's so our food in this country is so contaminated and so toxic. You know, I guess I want to start to ask you to talk about the dairy in the dairy industry. And I'm going to read a little bit from your book. It says, cow milk is for baby cows, monkey milk is for baby monkeys, and human milk is for baby humans. Our ancestors did not chase after other animals to milk them and create butter, cheese, yogurt, and ice cream. Our bodies are not genetically programmed to consume animal milk, and it does do a body good, or does not do a body good. No science exists to support the relationship between milk and bone health. The United States is one of the biggest consumers of dairy products, yet it has the highest incidence of osteoporosis. Cows didn't drink milk, and their bones are just fine. And so what do you want to say to all this? And what do you want to add to it? I love it. I love your book.
Whoever wrote that was brilliant.
Yeah, he was.
So clear in his thinking and eloquent with his words.
Yes,
you know,
indeed.
It's just following the wisdom of our ancestors. That's what we're about. You know, for millions of years, we lived a certain way. Let's try and bring that into the 21st century. And we can, like you said, get rid of mental health problems, anxiety, stress, depression, anger. You know, all disease is man-made. We're not born to be sick. You know,
right.
We have evolved, you know, with eyes and ears and the ability to run and think and jump and procreate and do all these amazing things. Why would we be born or destined to be sick? We're not. This is all man-made. Get rid of those man-made pollutants and recover your health. It's real, real simple.
This and it is, and you've got a great bedside manner. I must admit, you really do. It's so good to talk with you.
Well, you know, you just mentioned something about man-made. What's the percentage out there of heart disease being hereditary?
It is probably less than 1%.
Wow.
Well, that's
less than 1%. Some people have what's called familial hyperlipidemia, and it's far less than 1% of the population. In the mid-90s, going through medical school, we all thought it was all about the genes and the Human Genome Project, and we're going to learn everything. Well, here's what. We learned all about the genes, and we learned it's not genetics. It's how the environment affects your genes, which is the concept called epigenetics.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the answer. You know, once again, we've been around for a long time. We're pretty darn perfect. It's what we do to our bodies and what the environment is doing to our bodies. That's what causes cancer, heart disease, dementia, diabetes, and mental health issues.
Well, in Chapter 5, you talk about One Nation under Prozac. This chapter is so awesome. It really is. It talks about the circle of poor nutrition and poor mental health. And you quote, laughter is the best medicine. I couldn't agree more.
Oh, I love that as well. You know, it's just, we're so stressed out, you know, today in society, and everybody's just go, 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 and working so hard. We do have to work hard, but we also have to play hard. And, you know, whether it's laughter, you know, or just the conversation, one-on-one, not sitting on the phone and texting and Facebooking, you know, getting back to one-on-one conversations. And I see this in the next generation, you know, of teenagers, and they've lost that ability to communicate with one another. It's all by text. It's all by, you know, video, and the children are going to suffer. And my wife and I are actively trying to at least reverse some of that trend or wake people up to the truth.
Well, let me ask you this. What are some of the top supplements for heart health? Do you believe in taking, you know, like, you know, an omega-3 or what's it, ubiquinol? Is that what it's called? I'm trying to think of the name of the supplement right now. But do you believe in taking supplements for heart health?
Sure. Ubiquinol is CoQ10,
that's it.
And that's part of the energy factory called the mitochondria. And, you know, listen, we need to follow the best lifestyle we can. But unfortunately, the soil is destroyed. The water is polluted. The air is polluted. The food is not the same as it used to be. So this is where supplements supplement the healthy lifestyle. And there's plenty of evidence that confirms the benefit of taking a simple multivitamin, of taking omega-3 fish oil, of taking, you know, greens powder and probiotics and digestive enzymes. These things are all what I call the foundation supplements. And, you know, when you find high quality products, you get high quality results. But listen, I test people for a living. I do the most advanced blood testing in the world. And even the people on the best diets are still deficient in some nutrients. And that's where supplements come in to help.
Oh, wow. I love your demeanor. I really do. I love your energy. This is so good having you on the air with us, Dr. Wolfson. And for those of you just now joining us, he is the author of the book, The Paleo Cardiologist, The Natural Way to Heart Health. Okay, so in your book, I'm looking under the probiotics. I love what you wrote. I just absolutely love it. You wrote, probiotic literally means pro-life and antibiotic means anti-life.
Yeah, most certainly. You know, the gut flora, you know, in our intestines, you know, they do so many different things. They're involved in the immune system and cholesterol modification and blood pressure. You name it. It's all about gut health. And that's something my wife taught me very early on. But once again, as a medical doctor, we just don't learn that going through medical school, even on GI rotations, you know, with the MDs and the gastroenterologists. You know, it's all about, hey, do we need to cut out the gallbladder? Do we need to remove the appendix? Do we need to stop acid production with some dangerous pharmaceutical? You know, that's what they believe. We believe in actually in pro-health, and that's where those good gut bacteria, which outnumber us over 10 to 1, we need to eat the fermented foods like kimchi and sauerkraut and even drink kombucha. We need to nourish those good healthy bacteria, and therefore we avoid things like fluoride and chlorine and antibiotics and Crest toothpaste and dangerous mouthwashes, you name it. That's all destroying our intestinal bacteria, and it's destroying our health. We need people to understand that. And there's a natural alternative for all this stuff, and I talk about it in my book. We talk about it on our website, thedrswolfson.com. I talk about it on Facebook. We're trying our hardest to get this message out there to save the next generation.
I know.
My children, I've got a 10-year-old, a 5-year-old, and another one on the way. What's the world going to be like in 30, 40 years, you know, for our kids? It's absolutely scary.
It is. And it's part of my passion. One of the reasons that I was so motivated to, you know, start this show. We're in our 7th year now. Well, let me ask you this. I was on a rant yesterday in Target because I was looking for some healthy gum that didn't have aspartame in it or Red Lake number four, or what is it? Red number 40 and blue number, whatever it is, number 3. And I just thought, oh, my gosh, how many parents, and they sell it under the guise for even for children, marketing to children, bubblegum flavor and strawberry flood. And I was furious because we all know that aspartame is a toxin, a neurotoxin most specifically, is it not?
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's data that comes out all the time, including like recent new data that linked aspartame and artificial sweeteners to strokes, heart attacks and dementia. I mean,
wow.
That's pretty important. And I tell you, my father, as I tell in the book, was a cardiologist. He died at the age of 63. He was a big user of the artificial sweeteners. He came up, you know, during all those, you know, new, you know, MetaFast and SlimFast and all those diet shakes that the cardiologist all jumped into. And my father took that poison, and there's no doubt it helped to liquefy his brain along with statin drugs and other things. And unhealthy practices of a hospital-based cardiologist that my father was. But it's real simple. Listen, if you like chewing gum, go get a brand called Simple Gum. They sell it at Whole Foods or natural grocers. They sell it online on Amazon or Thrive Market or wherever you want to get it. And it's got all the things you love, just none of the chemicals. And so there is an alternative there as well. But you're correct. You know, letting children chew that kind of poison is so detrimental to the health. And, you know, these days it's really easy to find healthy, natural alternatives.
Yes, it is. The industry is exploding. Thankfully, finally, we've got healthy products. One more thing I want to know. I want you to comment on the American Sugar Alliance and the Sugar Association and their agenda. What do you say?
Listen, everybody's got an agenda. You know, the pharmacies have an agenda, corporate big food, you know, big agriculture, GMOs. Everybody's got their agenda. But listen, just stick with Mother Nature, the foods that we ate. We were not eating sugar. The only sugar we had back then was honey and maybe an occasional syrup, you know, and fruit. And fruit was different back then. So sugar is dangerous. Sugar is a poison. Sugar leads to diabetes, brain disease, heart disease, you name it. Unfortunately, it's so addictive. But I would only just encourage people that, listen, at the end of the day, Bernadette, as I'm sure you tell your listeners as well, no matter what you do, no matter what your craving is, just go do it organically. Go to a natural grocer and go get organic ice cream. Go get organic coffee. Go get organic gum, organic chocolate, whatever. Just go get it with all the sugar if you want, but none of the chemicals. And by right. doing that, you're doing yourself a big favor.
Yes, absolutely. What a great message. The paleocardiologist, Dr. Jack Wolfson, thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime.
I hope you'll come back. It was quite a good experience. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. I tell you, this book is amazing, you guys. Go get it on Amazon. The paleocardiologist, Dr. Jack Wolfson. You're listening to One Life Radio. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Bernadette, here to tell you about the world's most trusted hemp extract, Charlotte's Web, by the Stanley Brothers. Charlotte's Web hemp oil contains naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. This amazing product is hand-planted and grown using organic farming practices on Colorado family farms. CW has a variety of wellness applications and has achieved global recognition from media coverage of Little Charlotte's amazing success story. All I have to say is thank you, Charlotte's Web, for improving lives with natural Colorado wellness. Visit them at cwhemp.com. That's cwhemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or squattypotty.com. That's squattypotty.com.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like Blueberry Blast, Coconut Cashew, Cinnamon Roll, and Salted Caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Lexi Brinkley, Danny Miles, and we've got Melissa Hennig on the line. She is a health and lifestyle coach with expertise in holistic wellness. She is the author of the book Raw Paleo. Her coaching program gets women and men to feel sexy, strong, and motivated. I'm all about that. And so it's so good to have you on with us today, Melissa. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have these little spells where I'll do raw for like, I don't know, 2 to 4 weeks. And then, you know, and I've been vegan or vegetarian most of my life or pescatarian. But I'm really interested in the raw paleo. And we met at the Paleo FX at your booth. And so I wanted our listeners to hear a little bit about what raw paleo is.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's quite the opposite of a raw vegan diet because I'm including raw animal products, but it has the raw mindset and the whole aspect of not denaturing the food at all, and it's alive with enzymes, even the raw eggs and the raw meat and the raw butter, and these raw animal products are still, to me, just another form of raw food, just not a vegan, not in the vegan sense.
And you spoke at the event, didn't you?
I did. I was on stage and we did some steak tartare this year. Last year I did a raw burger, but I thought, you know, it's
yikes.
Leading. I know.
You're losing me.
I know, leading people into it. It's a little easier because steak tartare is served in many countries and many cultures.
It is.
In France. And so I thought, well, if I, you know, even restaurants here, a fancy restaurant, you can go into a French restaurant and you can get raw meat. They serve it. So that's a little bit easier to digest for newbies.
So how did you, what did you do to say, I'm just going to start eating raw meat one day? I mean, what led you to this style of raw paleo?
Well, I actually was raw vegan. So I was raw vegan.
Are you serious?
I did the plant-based I did it for 1 year. And what happened was I started running into a lot of folks at this store in Venice Beach called Rossum, and they ate the raw meat part of the diet. And they started saying, you know, you might be missing iron. You might be missing zinc. There may be nutritional deficiencies. And I had noticed that the energy that I had first found when I was raw vegan was changing. Things were changing. I probably wasn't doing it totally the right way because I was missing. I was bruising easily. I wasn't grounded. I was pretty anxious. Now I'm just really steady and grounded. Things have definitely changed. And that was my gateway in, was that little store, that raw store.
Where
the folks there started recommending me try some raw meat. And I did one day. And my body said yes. And I have never looked back.
And so what do you eat? Like, what's your typical day look like? What do you eat?
Well, I do a lot of smoothies, and I do a lot of raw dairy-based with kefir and raw eggs and raw milk, and that's a basis of the. It's a really nourishing fat that's stabilizing. It's satiating, so those can keep me going for a long time with my raw eggs and raw milk as the base, and then I'll have a little fistful of raw meat. So it's really tiny quantities. You don't need a lot of it because it's so nutrient dense. It's so alive. You're not denaturing it, the proteins, and it's filling. So I can just have a couple little bites here and there. It's not like these big steak meals or anything. It's more of a medicinal approach because of the health benefits of it.
Well, it's interesting going from raw vegan to raw paleo. So my mind's got all kinds of questions going through it. So, you know, obviously now, did you do the raw vegan because of the animal abuse in the food industry? Because I would, are you particular now about the meat that you do eat, that it comes from, for example, the raw milk? Is it Ahimsa milk? Is it from a cow that has been treated well and no harm done to it?
Right. So that's one of the main points about eating raw paleo, is sourcing. I actually drive to farms. I'm really into meeting the farmer, looking at the animals, the health of the animal, that they're on pasture, they're on green grass, they're not getting fed any grain, you know, just the way nature intended animals to be raised and humanely. So I do source really good food. That's a part of it. I'm not for factory farms at all. I'm against all of that. But I do support grass-fed and grass-finished farmers and meat.
Well, and it's good to talk about this. It really is. I respect the fact that you respect animals enough to source it like that. Most people don't put forth any effort in that. They don't really care. They just don't care, which is really sad for the animals. And it's something I'm very passionate about. So how does this diet work? I guess in the book it says that the diet works to remove toxins from the body.
It does. All raw foods are detoxifying because they have a natural bacteria on them. Bacteria eat waste. Even raw meat, I think of that as a probiotic, because anything that you're not cooking and denaturing is going to have a natural bacteria. And that's part of a detoxification, is the probiotic part of it. And then also the enzymes. Enzymes help you detox. So all across the board, raw food, any type of raw food is detoxifying. And this includes the raw animal products as well. And the one thing with the raw eggs is they have a lot of sulfur. They're really detoxifying. I think about going into a hot springs and you sit there and you know the sulfur is drawing things out. It's detoxifying you. And there's a lot of sulfur in the egg. And the whites are a chelator. There's so many. In the book, I list a lot of things that are detoxifying about this diet.
Well, do you still eat a lot of vegetables and fruits? Because if you're just eating raw meat and eggs and milk as the mainstay of your diet, I would think that you are missing some major nutrients. And I saw on your blog that you're pregnant. Congratulations. So does this mean that any sort of dietary changes for you, or do you stay completely raw paleo?
Oh, I'm not completely raw paleo. I'm not super dogmatic. I think I want everyone to have an open mind and not be afraid of food, and that's my approach. But I definitely do bring a lot of green juice in and a lot of fermented vegetables. I steam vegetables. I'm not huge on eating raw forms of vegetables. They don't digest for me. I get very bloated. I can't break it down. But yeah, no, this diet, otherwise I would be really acidic if I'm going to be eating meat, dairy, and eggs all day.
Mm-hmm.
So in between this, I drink green juice. So I juice. I love, like, I think all across health boards, juicing is a staple, and I'm fully on board with that.
It's really interesting. You're very interesting.
You know, I'm curious because I love eggs, but unfortunately, I'm intolerant to them. When you say raw eggs, do you put it in your smoothies, or do you literally do the old Rocky Balboa and put 10 eggs in a blender and drink them?
Yeah, or like that old, what was that old Orange Julius? Wasn't it where they used raw eggs in their orange juice?
Yeah, well, they probably pasteurize it or something.
Yeah.
But I do a raw form of that. Yeah, you know, there's times I just take it down Rocky style. I crack it into a glass and just. Oh, but most of the times you can't even taste it in the smoothie. And a lot of people that tell me they're intolerant to raw eggs is because it's the cooked form, the oxidized cholesterol they're intolerant to, and the denatured proteins and fats. But also, you know, I source eggs that have no soy and no corn. So a lot of times they can't do eggs because they can't do soy, and most chickens get fed soy. So it's really, really getting down to that source again.
Well, what you're saying is because I'm cooking my eggs, I should try them raw, and I might have a different result, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
definitely. The body definitely metabolizes the raw eggs way different than the cooked. I eat cooked eggs as well, but I just can tell a big difference. I'm really in tune. So it would be worth trying.
Yeah.
They have to be pasture raised and organic. Those are the two mm-hmm. words you want to look for on the label. And it's not always the easiest to find no corn, no soy, but that is the best if possible.
Yeah.
And then in your morning smoothie, you know, you can do your normal handful of spinach, frozen banana, tons of powders, whatever people put in there, and then just toss in a raw egg.
Yeah. I'm with you on everything but the raw meat. I can't even imagine putting a piece of raw meat in my mouth. I really can't.
When I was growing up, we had ground round sandwiches, which is basically tartar. I had raw meat.
I had a boyfriend with a German mother, and she would it would just gross me out. I just think it's awful. I don't think I'll ever change my mind about that. But to talk to you is very interesting to see what other people are doing out there in the world. And, you know, to each his own, and the thing that I respect the most about this whole topic is that you care about the animals and how they're treated. I wish we could get that message across to all Americans, how important it really is.
Right. And there's so many meat eaters, and if we create a demand for the grass-fed, grass-finished, where it's done the right way, I've seen it restore grasslands, it's taking away that demand for the factory farm. So mm-hmm. it's a lot about the education.
Yeah,
not everyone's going to stop eating meat, so we might as well educate them the right way.
Absolutely. Melissa, thank you so much. Such a pleasure. I'm going to give a real quick shout out to Ken's Hens in the Houston area. They have pasture-raised chickens and eggs, and he's a really nice guy. He's friends with one of the guys here at iHeartMedia. Ken's Hens in the Houston area. Coming to Dallas, I guess, soon when they get better distribution. But Melissa, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Good to meet you. Good to talk with you. Stay tuned, everyone. We've got Beth Reeder Johnson coming up. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
we all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates Crazy Water from the rest. Crazy Water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended.
Today, we're here to tell you about the success of Squatty Potty. Consumers are experiencing the healthful benefits from having the correct posture when eliminating the toxic and harmful fecal waste from their bodies. Now, Squatty Potty has made it portable. Introducing Porta Squatty. Now you can experience the healthful benefits no matter where the road takes you. It easily folds up and fits into a discreet carrying bag the size of a book. Porta Squatty. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Amazon, or for an exclusive discount of 25% off your entire order, use code ONELIFE at checkout at SquattyPotty.com.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, and I have Beth Reeder Johnson on the line. She is a licensed psychiatric social worker and individual family and couples therapist with over 14 years of experience working with children, adolescents, adults, couples, and families. She is also a certified Imago therapist trained to help couples communicate, resolve conflict, and reconnect. Love this woman. We used to work together on Mondays all the time. Do you remember at 6 in the morning, Beth, with the cold weather? Range
huddled up. Yes, absolutely.
Oh my gosh,
thank you for having me.
Yeah, I always love having you on the show. You're such a brilliant woman, you really are. And today we're talking about improving teen communication. And so my daughter, my littlest one, just turned 13, Beth, and it started already.
It does. It creeps in on you.
And oh my goodness,
it's the hardest thing about teenagers. You know, is I think since they were little, we've been teaching them manners. I think especially in the South and Texas, we focus on having a good handshake or looking people in the eye, but we really don't help them navigate the different types of communication that you can choose to use when you're talking to a teacher or a parent, and then how it can be so very different when you're talking to your friends, you know?
Yeah. And so, you know, it just starts, you know, the clothes, the makeup, and, you know, as I'm a bit conservative, as you know, at times, especially when it comes to like dressing or makeup, or I don't believe in like, you know, getting a lot of attention by how you dress with or wear a lot of makeup, like I said. And it seems to be such a natural thing, especially with girls, you know, at that age when they start noticing boys and boys start noticing them. It's such a challenge. So how can I help my teen navigate with all these social changes?
Well, I think the big thing is for them to understand and have a really clear understanding in their mind if there are three different types of communication styles they can use. If I'm going to be passive, it means when someone asks me a question, I try to deflect it. I'm not really, and they've gotten really good at doing this with their parents. How was your day? Fine. You know, and then they kind of try to walk off.
Right.
So that is passive. It's, I'm not really trying to engage with you. I'm really trying to kind of shy away from the conversation. The trouble is kids are really good at doing that with their parents and have a really hard time when they don't want to answer something or don't want to engage with a peer, knowing that they can use that style with them as well. They don't have to share everything they know about anything.
Mm-hmm.
The other challenge sometimes is that people will, the other style is that people will sometimes get aggressive. When they don't know what to do, they'll get angry and they'll get loud, or they'll use you. If they're texting, they'll use all caps, or they'll do a lot of blaming and shaming or criticizing, things like that. That's a very aggressive style of communication. So if you're in that style, you want to know you're in it and think of why am I doing this and what am I going to get out of it. And then there's assertive communication. And assertive communication is really where you're speaking to someone as if they're your equal and you're trying to explain yourself using I statements, your tone, if you're person to person or voice to voice, is very neutral. You're certainly, if you're texting or you're using email communication, you're seeming curious and not defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And that style
is really helpful for teens to understand. And it seems weird because they're like, how can I text assertively and not aggressively?
Mm-hmm.
But it's subtle, but it really helps them navigate sometimes how those conversations go. And truthfully, a lot of their whole conversations are happening via text. So to give them skills to use face-to-face but not on the electronic medium isn't really effective because, you know, I've seen whole breakup texts or whole group fight texts between girls. So I think it's really important to say, you know, part of this is I want you to have your own personal boundaries. I want you to get a sense of yourself. I want you to understand your own strengths, your moral convictions, and how you define friendship. And then what style of communication is going to work in each situation to get your needs met? And more often than not, people move when they get angry towards aggression, but really they could stay with assertion. They could stay with that I statement. They could stay with, and if something gets too heated via text, you can always say, you know what, I don't really want to get into a text fight with you.
Yeah.
I'd rather talk to you in person. Can we set up a time to go to Starbucks tomorrow or something? Or mm-hmm. let's talk after school. But I think there's got to be a way for these kids to understand that it doesn't have to keep going, and passive can be, I can't talk now, and they just stop it. That's kind of the passive response. Or, I don't want to fight with you via text. I'm not going to respond anymore. Well, the aggressive is, quit effing texting me. You know, and so you've got to figure out which style you're in and which is going to work for you. And I think they get so overwhelmed that they just start responding and they don't know which style they're using.
Mm-hmm. Well, you use the term electronic medium. You know, so, you know, this is all encompassing the iPad, the phone, the laptop, all this. On
Snapchat.
How many?
So many conversations are just happening in the IM version of
right.
Snapchat. Right.
Well, so what should the guidelines and rules be? Because, you know, I don't want to be that mom that, you know, is too strict, but I also don't want to, you know, let her just do whatever she wants to do. And this, you know, I would feel the same whether it was a boy or a girl. But what are the guidelines that we should go by?
Well, I think those are just conversations to have with you and your child. I mean, I think they should know that anything they put in writing, even if it is on Snapchat where it's supposed to disappear, can be tracked and traced and can stay. And people can always screenshot, and they say, well, oh, I'll know if somebody screenshot something.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gives you something. But they can screenshot it with an iPad onto that phone. Or if they're using an iPad, they can screenshot with their phone. I mean, you just never know where things are going to go.
Mm-hmm. And what about the amount of time that they spend in that electronic medium, as you say?
Well, I think different parents are different. Because a lot of times kids are using their computers all day long for school.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you're saying, you know, why don't you get your schoolwork done, then why don't you take, you know, an hour or so and do whatever you want. You know, I mean, I think a lot of parents have kind of a 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock cutoff during the week, and then they put their phones somewhere so that they won't be distracting them and beeping at them all night long. And if other kids are texting late night, they won't get woken up and forced to respond. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think a family charging station is a great idea. But I think it's really important, you know, cursing, things like that, inappropriate. Never sending nude pictures. I mean, I think that is obviously very important. That never, you know, it's illegal, and
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, it can lead to problems, certainly.
Well, I even have selfie rules. Like, I just think selfies are just ridiculous and out of control, and it cracks me up when I see these young girls, especially in the restaurants, like, taking their time and posing and all this. It's like, oh my gosh, put all that energy and time into doing something else. I just think it's such a waste of time, and, you know, and I don't want to be judgmental to my daughter, make her hate me, but I also want to raise a good, smart child, and I just think it's such a waste of time. And so, you know, I know that you believe that communication skills promote positive. Oh, I was like, you scared me, Danny. He added a little. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay.
He added a little background.
Yeah, he had a little background there. So, you know, I know that you believe that communication skills promote a positive self-image, kindness, inclusion, and happiness. How can we develop better communication skills?
Well, here's the thing. We are better together than we are apart. And I think teaching your children, knowing their own worth and what they stand up for and what they think about friendship, and then what they intend to do about it. So what they're willing to do and not do online, what they're willing to say, curse words, name-calling, blaming, shaming, criticizing, those kinds of things. But then how they're also willing to stand up for their friends. Because I think if you teach someone that you can say anything you want to say in a nice way, that being the assertive style of communication, you can really help them get in the habit of trying to understand the other person's perspective so they don't get in a knockdown, drag-out fight with a friend or a frenemy or whoever. But also, if someone's being mean to somebody that they do care about, that they then know how to appropriately step in. Again, not with that aggression and angry and belittling and belligerent and curse word response, but, hey, this isn't cool to do to my friend. You know, mm-hmm. if you have something to say, why don't you just talk to her directly? Why don't you talk to her at school? We're not going to use online to be bullying. I mean, really kind of shutting it down. And I think that makes kids feel powerful. And there have been studies that really show that kids listen to other kids standing up for each other more than almost standing up for themselves. So it's really you guys talking to your kids, us all as parents talking to our kids, but also talking to your kids about how they can talk to their friends about how they can be there for each other. Because at some point in time, somebody's going to be mean to you online. And you can call it bullying, or they're having a bad day, you're having a bad day, whatever is happening. But if your friend comes in, if you're all on the GroupMe, and your friend comes on to the GroupMe conversation and says, hey, leave her alone, that's pretty uncool, we don't talk like that on this chat or mm-hmm. whatever, then it shuts it down.
Yeah, know? I think that's great advice.
Because
I really do.
If I say, don't be mean to me, they'll be like, oh, am I being mean to you? But if somebody else steps in, that's where it's really powerful. That's where the communication is really powerful. Mm-hmm. It's other people stepping in. So you teaching your child, you can be that other voice, and that you... they can have an agreement with their friend. We can be that voice for each other.
Yep. Well, you know, you make me think. You took me back to the playground in fourth grade. You know, my friend Tony Van Alstyne, who listens to the show in New York, she was being picked on in the playground because she stuttered really bad. She was burned badly as a child. And she, you know, when you stand up for people like that, you build a connection and a love that is unbreakable, in my opinion. And those relationships start at early ages. It's the thumper rule. If you ain't got nothing good to say, then don't say nothing at all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and kids have a hard time navigating all this because, again, so much of it happens through a screen, you know. And
yeah.
It's more and more challenging every day. But really trying to figure out what that other person is thinking and what is my best approach in neutralizing this situation. Or what do I want out of this situation? And then how can I get it through my
words? I love it. Beth Reeder Johnson, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. You're so articulate. Thank you so much.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
All right. That's Beth Reeder Johnson. You can find all of our experts at OneLifeRadio.com. Listen to our podcast from Stitcher, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and TuneIn. You can go to our website, OneLifeRadio.com, to subscribe to our weekly newsletter. Go to iHeartMedia.com and listen live from your mobile device, or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A shout out to our sponsors, Crazy Water, Sun Warrior, the ISSN, Charlotte's Web, and Squatty Potty. And you can now find Sun Warrior and Squatty Potty at the Vitamin Shop. And I encourage you to go there because they're great products. Great companies, our sponsors. Thank you so much for listening. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.